Miss Veronica, we can play them songs all year round, right? I really like them songs. Go to the mighty book of Genesis. Let's start in Genesis this evening. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, as we know. I gleaned some historic information from the answers in Genesis as we navigate through this text. So I want to start off in the fifth chapter, the fifth division of Genesis. And I want to start off on the 21st verse. We'll start there in Genesis. You're probably saying, man, what is this dude doing? The Christmas message in Genesis? Well, it's in the beginning, right, Ron? Miss Carolyn, don't charge me. I know you're going to say, she charged me last week, or the week before. Let's start in the, 21st verse? And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, this one will give us rest from our work and from the pain of our hands arising from the ground which Yahweh has cursed. Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So, Carly Simon. Anybody a Carly Simon fan? Anybody knows who Carly Simon is? We know who she is. She sang a song, and the name of the song was Anticipation. Remember the Heinz ketchup bottle? Remember that? You guys are too young for that. But remember that commercial with the Heinz ketchup bottle and, you know, Anticipation, right? But let me share a couple of lyrics that I want to share with you. She sings, we can never know about the days to come, but we think about them anyway. And she also proclaims, she is no prophet and does not know nature's ways. Of course, this song is secular in the fact she cannot see the future of a relationship that she's talking about. But she does proclaim that anticipation keeps her waiting. I guess hoping for the best, right? There's a lot of young children tonight, right? Anticipating to this Christmas Eve and anticipating tomorrow, right, Tony, to have a Christmas and to get some gifts, right? And the main reason why I open up our Christmas service in Genesis is to talk about Methuselah, to talk about Methuselah. See, a lot of people, what's Methuselah known for? His age, right? 969 years old. But there's much more to his story. There's much more to his story that we need to, really much more to God's story that we need to contemplate, right? Now think about this. People say, you know, like we said, Methuselah is known for his age. Not, I mean, when you talk about Methuselah, you hear the term, he's as old as who? Methuselah, right? But God had a purpose for Methuselah. He was young enough to see Adam and old enough to see Noah. You see, that's the thing. He was young enough to learn about sin and disobedience and old enough to speak to Noah about salvation. I mean, think about it. You think about the message of the gospel. You think about the message of salvation from death to life. So Methuselah is a preacher, and he's a man that is just known for his age. But think about how God used him. Again, young enough to speak to Adam, and Adam tell him, man, you know, this God is a holy God, and I was disobedient to the holy mandate, and I got thrown out of the garden. And all them years he sees this continuation of this sin continue to go through the world. And then he's got the privilege and the honor to give the message of salvation to Noah. You know, we don't think about that enough. So Methuselah is really much more than his age. He's delivering a message of hope, learning from from Adam the cost of disobedience. See, Gene, he's the gate that swings the fence. He was the middleman, the connection, if you will, between the death and life. Adam's sin leading to death and God's saving grace with Noah leading to life. Just like our Lord leading us out of slavery of sin to eternal life. Tonight's story is all set up by the providence of God. And we know how important the lesson resonated with Noah, who deemed by God's grace righteous in his eyes. See, Noah would have an anticipation. Noah would have an anticipation. When he was told to build the ark, he would have an anticipation about mercy and salvation on believing God's word. See, Methuselah was put on this earth for such a time as this. Such a time as this. In fact, his name means, when he dies, it shall be sent. That's what Methuselah means. The question is, what shall be sent? Well, some days after Methuselah's death, in fact, some scholars say, now, do you remember, think about this. We want to be careful here, but do you remember Adam, do you remember Noah? They were in the ark 7 days before the rain actually came. I believe that they were mourning the death of Methuselah. I believe because they would have that 7 day period that they would mourn the death. Methuselah gave the message, Patty, of salvation to Noah. And then the Bible says they don't go for 7 days. Because that 7 days, I believe, they mourned Methuselah. And then they went. So he's a huge figure in the Bible. He's a huge figure. Because he's got a message of hope. He's got a message of hope from sin and death. To eternal life, to life in the ark, but obviously pointing to much deeper, right, Judy? So sometimes, again, we don't look at Methuselah in that way, but he's an interesting figure. So some scholars say 7 days after his death, the Lord sent a flood, and Noah would fully be aware about God's judgment on sin that started in the garden. In fact, Methuselah's father's name was Enoch, who walked with God. You know, Enoch's an interesting cat, too, because the first 65 years of Enoch's life, he was a sinner. Then he believed God, and God took him. Just imagine, wait a minute, just imagine this. Just walking, and God says, come on, I'm taking you home. And he was no more. And this is the story. And this is a picture of God's grace. In the midst of this sin, in the midst of this disobedience, we see the grace of a living King. And you know what, Veronica? He don't owe us absolutely zero. Nothing. Nothing. But here, he's weaving a way to salvation despite Adam's sin. God took Enoch by grace. So as mentioned, Noah would not learn of judgment, but he would encounter mercy. See, Noah encounters mercy by grace. By grace. The Bible says that he was a righteous man in the Lord's eyes. And think about Methuselah would be an interesting guy to talk to, right? I mean, you think about talking to Methuselah. He had some stories to tell. I mean, he was there. I mean, to me, he's a figure, Carolyn, that it was able to talk to Adam and talk to Noah. So you think, well, you know, why does God keep him alive? That's why. So the message goes forth. You know, I think about Methuselah, Adam's day and the turbulent years between Adam's fall and Noah's flood. The Bible depicts that during that time, think about this, every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was evil continually. Yes, Methuselah had a lot to say, and I'm sure he was anticipating in saying it. Methuselah lived a life of expectancy, waiting, anticipating bringing God's word to the forefront to Noah and his family, learning from Adam and all others that he would encounter. There are so many hopes and dreams in this world that we live in. People look forward and anticipate, there's the word, anticipate so many things like marriage, family, education, occupation, reward, all decent things. But Methuselah's message to Noah was one of eternal reality. Because I'm telling you, there are a lot of hopes, and we got them in this world. We want, by God's grace, we have good jobs, we have good marriages, young children like Patty and Cece, like Jenny and Cece, young, but those things are good, but they're not the best. And it's eternal life here that the message that Methuselah is given to know, he's a picture of that. He's a picture of being delivered from sin and death. He had a serious message, but in the same seriousness of the message, he had a message of hope. God would save a people for himself like he saved his father Enoch. Let me see. Unless we know the depths of our sin, we can't appreciate this story. Unless we know the depths of our sin, unless God the Holy Spirit is convicting us of our sin, we don't get this. This is just some tale. But when you know that you're a sinner saved by grace, this story, Jan, Chris, needs to resonate. It needs to go down deep and to know that we're undeserving of the least bit of his tender mercies, as the Bible said. So here we see this again, and we'll get to the... Remember, our theme tonight, Miss Ashley, is anticipation, hope, right? Waiting. Methuselah's son Enoch was a picture of grace, if you will, that despite a broken, sinful world, God always got a people. See, that's the thing. I mean, but this world is broken. It was broken from Adam. Don't tell me that, you know, if you would have been in the garden. If I was in the garden, I would have sinned a lot. I don't know how long it took Adam, but I would have sinned a lot before Adam did. But we live in a broken world, but there's hope. See, this is too serious. It's too serious. I know we, you know, love the Christmas music and things like that. I was telling, I think, Veronica, Cindy. I mean, I can play that every week. But at the end of the day, do not ever, 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 ever separate the birth of Christ without the resurrection of Christ. Because that's where this is going. Again, expectancy, hope. And we'll see that played out when we get to our New Testament control. It's the same for us tonight. We have an anticipation, a hope, a biblical hope, one that promises eternal life in Christ. Now, again, we just think about how we've studied Methuselah tonight. Now, let me tell you something. He's a marginal figure. All he's known for is his age. But you can see, Carolyn, his life is worth so much more. So much more. Because God has got a purpose for his people. He doesn't live 969 years because, you know, God just wants... There's a reason he lives, to give a message. And there's a reason why you're here today, for such a time as this. There's eternal life at stake, guys. There is. There is. And we have an obligation to bring the message of hope as we anticipate the second coming of Christ. Listen, Merry Christmas Eve. I mean that. I mean, it's a joyous time. I mean, and, you know, it goes so fast. I mean, you're waiting. You know, everybody's cooking. And you know, Italians love to cook. I don't know if you guys, new guys, know I'm Italian. But, you know, we love to cook. You know, my wife loves to cook. I do, too, but she doesn't let me near the stove. But anyway, probably, I told you, remember last week, Carl almost lit my shirt on fire. Maybe that's why she don't let me near the stove, right? I want to look at another marginal figure. So I looked at Methuselah. I wanted to show you that Methuselah is more than what we think he is, right? Because that's all we think he is. You know, he lived 969 years. I want to talk about another marginal figure in the Bible who's not spoken about enough. So here we see. Now think about this. Get this. Here we saw Methuselah, whom we know that is known for much more than his age. Well, this other figure is also going to be known for much more than his age. He would also be known for his anticipation and expectancy of a coming Messiah. Go to Luke 2. Let's go to the second division of Luke. Again, when you hear of the Christmas story, so I can see, where'd you go? Christmas service? What'd they talk about? Methuselah, right? Well, how about Simeon? Simeon's another cat that you don't really hear about. Simeon's another guy who's a marginal figure, but he's got the same messages as Methuselah, one of expectancy, one of hope, but this time of the coming Messiah. You know, not many messages you see on Simeon. And notice, when you read the text, when we read the text together, Simeon is kept alive for such a time as this. Just like Methuselah. We are here for such a time as this. This is our time. It ain't Methuselah's time. It ain't Simeon's time. But they're figures that we can look back on and say, Lord, use me like you did a Methuselah. Use me like you did a Simeon. So here's what we're going to do. If you can. As I read this part, it's 10 verses. If you can stand, just stand as I read the verses. If not, I totally get it. I want to start in the... As we read this story, 10 verses and you guys can relax. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, waiting, anticipating. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Master, you are releasing your slave in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, for which you prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were marveling, Mary and Joseph were marveling at these things which were being said about him. And Simeon said, now listen to this message. Blessed them, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, anytime you see that word behold, the child is appointed for the fall, death, and rise of many in Israel, for a sign to be opposed. Last verse, and a sword will pierce through your own soul as well as the thoughts for many hearts may be revealed. Please sit down. Thank you. So, Simeon. The message from, notice how this man is described, righteous and devout, anticipating, hoping, for the consolation of Israel and the inclusion of Gentiles as the Spirit of God was upon him. In similar fashion, he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This was expectancy with eternal significance. You see how the Bible is one story. You say, man, Methuselah, and then you see Simeon, and you say it's the same message. It's the same message of hope, anticipation. Now we anticipate and hope. We live in the already and not yet, right? We are already in the things of God, not yet waiting for him to return. So that's our hope. That's our expectation. Biblical hope is not a hope like I hope the Yankees win the World Series next year, which I do, but that, what does that mean? Don't worry, you hope the Packers win the Super Bowl. It may not happen. If you could will it into existence, it would happen, right? But when we talk of a biblical hope, listen, I don't know people's hearts, but if you're not a Christian tonight, this is not a hope. We are secure in Christ. We are secure. And here's Simeon. Simeon is put on the earth, Rachel number one and two, for such a time as this. That's what the Bible says. For such a time as this. In fact, like Methuselah, this man lived a certain amount of years to fulfill his mission, to bring the prophetic word about the Christ child, which theologically shows God's sovereignty over life and death. This was Simeon's Christmas present. This is what he had been waiting for his whole life, anticipating, waiting for such a time as this. Think about the context. Mary and Joseph, 8 days after Jesus' birth, come to circumcise the Christ child. And here comes this strange man, and he takes Jesus in his arms, verse 27, blesses him, verse 28. And the prophecy, verses 29 through 32, reiterates that Simeon's mission is complete according to God's word. Like Methuselah, he now can experience eternal life. If anything, Christmas is a time of mission. It's a time of realizing what Christ has done for you, how he came. Listen, you're talking about the God of the universe to come down in the birth channels of a woman. For me, for you, for all Christians, you got to be kidding. This man, Simeon, waiting for this time and would not, that's why, listen, these men, you know what the challenge is, Carolyn? These people took this stuff seriously. They were serious dudes, man. This was their life. Let's not forget about Anna, too. You know, staying so many years in the temple and fasting and prayers, just waiting for this time. Waiting. We got it really comfortable here. Me first. The church treats me and Rachel over the top. We got it really comfortable. But we don't know if that's going to be forever. See, we want to make sure where we are need to be in the things of God. It's a challenging, they challenge us. The people of God, they challenge us here. This was their life. And again, it's challenging to me. As mentioned, Methuselah knew the delaying of his days was for a reason, waiting to give Noah the prophetic word after speaking to Adam about his sin. No different here, as Simeon is testifying in front of Mary and Joseph with a message of what? Judgment and hope. Hey, see, the message don't change. Don't believe the hype. There's going to be judgment on sinners. It doesn't change. It didn't change with Methuselah, and it didn't change with Simeon. Reminding Mary and Joseph, putting them on notice that salvation is now upon them eternal salvation, as mentioned for both Jew and Gentile, verse 32. Think about how we must celebrate the Christmas season with an anticipation, a hope, but not just hoping in something, a biblical hope, a true fulfillment of God's word. See, I want to encourage you in that. Man, if you're a Christian today, you're not going to die. The minute you, by God's grace, the Holy Spirit, you become born again, you have an eternal life right then. 1 John. Your eternal life doesn't start. Your eternal life is right now if you are a Christian. And if not, Patty, it goes fast. Man, I'm 65. It goes fast. See, the thing is, this is all about not only anticipation, Melissa, but contemplation, right? Contemplation. Where are we at? Think about Simeon. Think about Methuselah. Are we that? Are we sold out like that? Challenging. You know, this is, you know, there's a lot at stake. Time goes so, time waits for no one. Zero. It did wait for Methuselah, though, right? But for a reason. For a reason. Not just because, hey, I'm the oldest guy. That's all right, Methuselah. I'm the oldest guy in the Bible. That's what they, no. No, God has got a purpose for his people. He's got a purpose. And listen, if you're a Christian today, he's got a purpose for you. You have a purpose. You're not here just to move the air around. You got a purpose. I have a purpose. And by God's grace, we can fulfill that purpose. These are not, tonight we celebrate an actual event in history, soon to be fully accomplished when Christ returns, as mentioned. We can never celebrate the birth of Christ without the resurrection of Christ. See, listen, the world wants to keep Christ in a man. They like the baby Jesus. They like that. See, Miss Ashley, as long as we can keep him in the manger, well, that's good. No. Uh-uh. That Christ child is going to bleed and die for his people, be resurrected, and sit at the right hand of God, Dana. I mean, this is the Christmas story. I know we see the manger and we, you know, we like all that stuff and praise the Lord for it, but he came to die. He came to die. He didn't come here to, you know, have fun, and I mean, he probably had some fun, but he came to die. And you think about the man, if that can resonate with you tonight, it needs to resonate with me more. We're all challenged by this. You're so comfortable in this world. These are not fanciful ideas. It is not like Carly Simon hoping for the best in some relationship, but a true hope rests on nothing less than Jesus Christ's righteousness, a righteousness that is not your own. It's been imputed to us by grace, but this message is in opposition to the world. It is offensive to the world, and we were rejected by the world, even by people in our own families. See, that's the thing. I mean, I'll talk about me. I have family members that think I'm crazy. I mean, everybody thinks I'm crazy, but they really think I'm crazy. You know, doing over 20 years in prison and God saving me but it's not about me, it's about what he did. Grace that we don't deserve. And here again we see the hope, the expectancy, the anticipation. That's how Methuselah lived. That's how Simeon lived. That was their life. That was their life. What about me? What about you, right? Judy? I love you, Miss Judy. You doing okay? In verse 33, Mary and Joseph were amazed at this event. Now think about how their life had been. It was a prophetic whirlwind, using them to fulfill the prophecy of the coming Messiah. But there's much more. Look at verse 34. Now, when we read the Christmas story, we don't focus on 34. Basically, 34, there's going to be a holy war, a sign of the fall and rise of many in Israel. As Paul reiterates, we preach life unto life or death unto death. Far be it from me that if we're just going to go here and sing Kumbaya, I mean, that's all. But there is a message. It's an eternal message of judgment and death. Adam's sin, Noah's flood, salvation. Adam's sin and death. And here we see the same thing. There's going to be that separation. According to Bach, the first image is drawn from the passage in Isaiah, namely chapter 8, where God is portrayed as setting up a stone of stumbling over which some will fall, but also a precious cornerstone that will not disappoint those who trust in him. Again, life unto life and death unto death. You know, Jesus is going to eventually what? Separate the wheats and the tares. See, I think about that. That's a stark picture for me. Not the actual separation of the wheat and the tares. That's stark in itself. But the Bible says, Pam, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But then he's going to separate, Tony. Even the ones that he's going to send to hell are going to say he's Lord. But basically, Patty, but I never knew you. But we have, as a Christian, a hope, an expectancy. That's what the Christmas message is about. About a hope, an expectancy, when he returns for his people. And again, Simeon, a marginal figure. Methuselah, a marginal figure. You don't hear them preached a lot, especially around Christmas time. And then Bach continues to say, it will cause a sword to pass through Mary's soul. I mean, think about this. Here you got your son, and the prophet is saying, Glinda, listen, by the way, what's going to happen to your son is going to be like a sword piercing your soul. Wow, this is circumcision day. It's an event of hope. I mean, it's a party. I mean, it's my son's getting circumcised. But Simeon lets her really know what time it is. And we know that, right, obviously. The division that her son would create, not only in Israel, but in the world. You know, the Bible says what? You know, you have to leave, and this is not because being disrespectful. It's just that who's your first love? You leave mother and father and daughter and son and follow Christ. No disrespect to children and parents. We love them and God wants us to honor them. But he must come first. And that's the message here that Simeon is. It's just, you know what it is? Here, quick, in a nutshell. Perspective. It's all about perspective. Right, I mean, what is your perspective? What's the most important thing in your life? Right, Miss Ashley, we get challenged all the time because there's so many other things, right, Miss Ashley, that come into our lives that try to take our perspective away. And again, we see here Simeon and Methuselah living every day for that time, right? Do we not see this today? The opposition of Christ coming through the birth channels of a woman to bring about eternal salvation. This idea, Chris, Patty, is rejected by the world, Jan, Harry, rejected. Let's eat, drink. What does it say? Eat, drink, be merry. Today you live, Ron. Tomorrow you die. What, I mean, think about if that's somebody's worldview. Eat, drink. Be merry, today you live, tomorrow you die. Not the God we serve. Not the God we serve. The minute that God, by God's grace, the Spirit of God allows you to be born again, you are an eternal being right at that time. In fact, many people view these stories as idle tales. You see the celebration of Christmas according to Bauckham. See, Bauckham says this. The celebration of Christmas is not just a body of data believed, but a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what the Christmas story is about. I'll be out of your way in a few minutes. I know it's Christmas Eve and we want to celebrate. Thing I was thinking about this. You ever notice the term Merry Xmas? What do they take out? Christ. I mean, that's the, right? I mean, this is the world we live in. I don't even like saying it. Lord, forgive me. Merry Xmas. What does that mean? On the other hand, these people we have read about this evening literally lived for Christ. They did not die until their mission was complete. Listen, if you're a Christian today, you are not going to die until your mission is complete. We've said this, Rachel, ad nauseum. Linda, we've spoken about this, all of us. This is not Paul's time. It's not Noah. It's not Methuselah. It's our time. This is our time. This is our time. We're going to be responsible, Selena, for what we're doing on this earth in our time. Right, Patty? I mean, this is not Paul. I mean, you know, I don't know how Paul would. You think Paul will be driving a 69 Caddy? I doubt it, right? But this is our time, and then this is where God has providentially put us for such a time as this. What a testimony, what a picture of what was important to Methuselah and Simeon. They had an eternal anticipation that would have eternal outcomes on people's lives. This is why Mary's cut to the heart, as it is revealed to her what Jesus' mission was going to bring, namely division in families, friends, nations, and eventually his death and resurrection, fulfilling those promises. This is the whole gospel. Simeon is laying out basically the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ and what the eternal outcomes would be again, life unto life and death unto death. Go to Galatians 4. We're going to close this out. I want to bring Paul into the picture a little bit. So let me give you a little background here because, you know, I don't have time to exegete this Galatians text. Me and my wife did a little study on it this morning, but in those days, when you was an heir, when you had money coming to you in a will, an heir, until that time, remember, God is a God that sets up time. We got those Kairos times, right? The appointed time. Anytime you see God appointing something, it's not Chronos time. Chronos time is, it's 5 after 7. That's Chronos. But Kairos time is the time that God appoints, is the time that God ordains. See, he's in Chronos time, but he's out of time, but he's got certain times which they call Kairos time. So now the same way, here's the analogy. I want you to get this before we read it. The child who's going to inherit everything is really no different than a slave until that Kairos time that he gets the money or whatever may be left to him. So that's the background here. So what Paul's going to do is watch how he does this. I mean, Paul's a master at this. You know, but the thing is we don't understand the culture. We don't get it. We don't know, you know, that you can be a, I'll use today's terms, Lord forgive me, you could be a multimillionaire. But until you get that money, if Chris has got me in his will for, I don't know, $50 million or something, Chris is saying, okay. But anyway, but I'm not going to go out and buy a Mercedes. I don't have the money yet. So watch what Paul does. Watch how he does this. Again, the reason I did that is, you know, you guys may know the background and that, praise the Lord, but some people may not. So maybe this makes a little more sense as we read this. And I want to start in the fourth division of Galatians, seven verses, and I'll be out of your hair. But let's look at this. Now think about what I just says. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he's the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and stewards until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were enslaved under the elemental things of the world, enslaved to sin. But when the Kairos time, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we may receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Daddy. That's the Greek rendition. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. Here's the inheritance. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You got to be kidding me. Listen, if you're a true believer in Christ, this is our Christmas present. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. You no longer are a slave to sin. The gift of grace started with Methuselah, revealed by Simeon, and displayed by Christ, redeeming his people from the law that would condemn us to hell. The law, listen, the law condemns us. What a God we serve. In fact, he was condemned. Wait a minute. Wait, time out. Rachel, asking, he was condemned for us. You got to be kidding. He was condemned for us. And so we get adopted into a family of faith. What a gift as our hearts are open, crying, Abba, Father. See, we are an heir through the righteous act of God. This is why we celebrate Christmas, because we are truly free in Christ. Yes, we're free to celebrate, enjoy a Christmas Eve dinner, open a couple of gifts. I hope you got me more than a couple, Rach. But anyway, open a couple of gifts. But to put things in perspective, eternal perspective, is that there is no real gift, no proper celebration, unless all of us acknowledge first that salvation is a gift from God. It came by way of the God-man, Jesus Christ. What a picture. What a picture. And this Christ, this very God of very God, who knew no sin, became sin so that we could become the righteousness of Christ. It can be received by grace through faith. And this is a gift from God, lest any man should boast. Man, if you are trusting in yourself for salvation, you are in trouble, man. He secured his people's salvation on that cross. This is the Christmas story. It's part of the story. It's part of the whole. For some of us have not received Christ. It can be received by grace through faith. And that's a gift from God, lest any man should boast. Listen, with the catastrophic flood, the world experienced sin and death. With the birth of Christ, there was salvation, hope, and I leave you with that tonight. I leave you with that hope tonight. You know, I want to be cliché-ish and say, God bless you and Merry Christmas and all a good night, right? But Merry Christmas and all a good night, but. Serious? Serious stuff. Really, I mean, this is contemplation time. This is time for us to think. Well, we really, listen, tomorrow's not promised for anybody. No, none of us. All we really are where we need to be. Those are serious questions. What we learn tonight, before we light our candles, what we learn tonight is that salvation is a free gift. Nothing you can do to earn your salvation. Nothing. And how God works that out, way above my pay grade. Way above my pay grade. But I'll tell you what, he expects us to give the gospel. He's the author of salvation, not me, not Glenda, not Rachel, not Tony. We got to give the message. He only opens up the heart. Let's stand. Merry Christmas, guys. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for this time, this brief time together that we can just talk about the gospel. It's Christmas, yes, but this is the gospel. You came to die for your people. I mean, this is an amazing gift. And we need to realize that, me first. As we... I want to bless the food. I know the SOS women, and they are, man, I tell you. I mean, they put gift bags together. They got coffee and things like that and treats, and most of them are homemade, and it's just amazing. So please go in there, and as I bless that food, you know, that you it may nourish to your body, and enjoy the gift. This is, think about the free gift that you get tonight. I mean, it's like the free gift of salvation. You weren't expecting it, but the same way with God, the Holy Spirit just comes in and the wind blows where it goes. And like the Lord told Nicodemus, that's salvation. It's a sovereign work of God in Christ. Nothing that we do lest we should boast. But we are created unto good works. But our good works don't save us. Christ saves us. With that, I just want to thank you guys. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, these few minutes we can spend together as a family. And as we light these candles, I'm going to ask Miss Kathy to come up and just play a little bit while we get these candles lit. Lord, thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Okay. Kathy, all right. Yeah, let's make sure. Yeah, we're going to take all the lights out. We just want to make sure everybody's got their candle lit.